Last week we went through, let's say, an event in a man's life named Lot. And you remember the two angels. We're going to go through different areas of the Bible today because what I want to show you that I understand from both what 19th chapter of Genesis is talking about and what the actions of Yahshua, the actions of the Creator of heaven and earth, the actions of Elohim. You don't have to turn to that right now. I'm just going to read here, Genesis 19, verse 1. All of you heard it before. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So at the beginning of the two angels coming in, and they're going to be doing something. Remember I've told you some time ago that when someone uses the word, oh, that person is such an angel. Well, when if it's an angel of God, not an angel of man or angel of pleasantness or whatever, what is their function? To carry out Devarim Elohim. Right? Carry out the word of God. And these two angels did exactly that. Were they loving, compassionate, sweet, kind? We'll talk about them a little bit today. You remember the 18th chapter of Genesis? When Abraham went through a series of names down to number 10. We talked about that in detail of 2 weeks ago. And one of those things that God said to the two men or the two angels that were going to go and destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, now, okay, how can I hide this from Abraham? And he said, now, Abraham's going to be a blessing to the world. How can I hide this from him? Now, what was the characteristic thing that the Creator of heaven and earth said about Abraham? Do you remember what he said? Verse 19 of the 18th chapter of Genesis. Because the subject matter has to do with what was called, for I know him, Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him when he is dead. Right? How did he command that? We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And they shall keep the way of Yahuwah to do justice and judgment. And of course, the next chapter is about what? Justice and judgment. And we kind of look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we kind of like, we kind of compare this city as Sodom and Gomorrah, or that city as Sodom and Gomorrah, but we need to find out exactly what is it that the Elohim considers Sodom and considers Gomorrah, and not what we think it is. Because he uses those terms throughout the entire Bible, those two phrases, those two countries, those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, to teach us something. The very first thing he's teaching us is what? Justice and judgment. Right? Now, remember what the Messiah said about what the Torah said? Three things it does. No. Justice, judgment, and truth, or faith, trust, which in your translation calls it mercy. Mercy comes only after a judgment has been set forth. It doesn't come before a judgment. Mercy comes after a judgment, or you are found guilty and you're waiting upon the judge to give you the sentence, right, in a real court of law. Now let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. New Testament here. The Messiah had something very interesting said, and he used Sodom and he used Gomorrah for something for us to listen to. He sent, 10th chapter, verse 1, and he had called unto himself his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then, of course, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 tells you who they are. Chapter 5, rather, says, and the 12 went out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, nor into the cities of Samaria, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? Huh? They're going to preach what? The kingdom of heaven. You mean the kingdom of heaven has something to do with justice? You mean the kingdom of heaven has something to do with judgment? No, it can't be that way. The kingdom of heaven is a wonderful place. Don't you know that? And what did he tell these apostles? It is my Father's good will to give you the kingdom. Do you want to be in the kingdom of God? What are the functions of the kingdom of God? Let's continue on here. Because once again, you can't have mercy unless you know something first. And as he sent them out, and there would be about preaching the kingdom of heaven, verse 15, surely I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that refuses to hear the kingdom of God. Now wait a minute. We were here last week, right? And went through Sodom and how horrible they treated people. What kind of people they were like, right? And to the point where the angels had to blind them to stop them from doing bad things, shall I say, unto Lot himself. Right? It's not a pleasant city to be in, right? And we say, oh great, you know, that reminds me of this city. No, that reminds me of that city. Everybody has their city of Sodom and Gomorrah in their mind. But what is God's mind about Sodom? And what is God's mind about Gomorrah? Because that's the stomach matter's all about, right? What does God think? Not what I think, not what anybody else thinks, but what does he think? Why would Jesus, or Yahshua, at this point in time, tell his disciples, if that city rejects the kingdom of God, it'll be Sodom and Gomorrah will be judged less. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. Now remember, he's supposed to go to the lost sheep of Israel, remember? Not to the Gentiles, but to the lost city. They went. Right? Chapter 11, verse 23. In the chapter 11 there, he starts judging a tremendous amount of cities within, and then not only in Judea, but also in the very town he was raised up in. The very town he lived in, he was hometown, he said something about a town. And that was in the land of Galilee. And it said there, verse 23, and as in you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works were done in you that have been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. What great work was done in Capernaum? Do you know any miracle that took place in Capernaum? What great work took place in Capernaum? Do you know?
Water and wine?
Huh?
Water and wine?
No. No, no, no. What is the work that was so awesome in the town of Capernaum? That's where the Son of the Living God lived. That's great work.
He got in touch with the fishermen there.
It was from Nazareth, not Capernaum.
No, Capernaum was his hometown. That was the main town he always lived in. When you read about Matthew, he was also in Capernaum, same town. So it's very fascinating to find out. And he says, you know, let's continue on, verse 24. But I say unto you, Capernaum, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and the day of judgment than for you. So now we have this judgment again. this day of judgment. And everybody has an idea what the day of judgment is all about and when it's supposed to be. You can have anything you want. I'm like, what is a judgment about? If their judgment has to come, something came before the judgment. Injustice. Injustice came before judgment can come. Can't have a judgment on something that's against you if you haven't done anything. Right? Make logical sense. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Here again, in the New Testament, it talks about Sodom. And the Apostle Peter is saying something to the circumcised, in this case, because that's who he's talking to. He wasn't talking to 21st century Christians. They didn't exist. Didn't talk to the 21st century Messianic people. They didn't exist. He's talking to his own people. He talks about verse 1 about being false prophets coming in, and they're going to do their thing, and they're going to try to do the very way to, in a sense, make the truth of God of null effect, have no value. Chapter 2, verse 2. Make it 2 Peter. Through this series of chapter 2, he talks about several places. He talked about the angels, verse 4, who sin, and now they're living in Choshech. That's the Hebrew word for darkness, by the way. Now they're living in Choshech. Until when? To be reserved for judgment. Right? Now, we go down into verse 5. What about Noah? Remember Noah? What did God call him? A righteous. What does righteousness mean? How does one become righteous? How does one become righteous? By the blood of Jesus Christ? Not according to the Torah. By what?
Trusting.
By trusting. Abraham believed. And God said, you are a righteous man. What did he believe? He believed Elohim. And so now we go to these apostles. They're going into the cities. They don't want to hear the kingdom of God. Why? They don't want to believe, or they don't believe the kingdom of God. And what happens? You don't believe the kingdom of God. You don't believe the word of God. What happens to them? He says, it'd be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, why does he bring this up? And why is Peter here talking about something that seems very strange? And we have talked about Lot now. Verse 6. And here he says, he turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them. Make an example for those who... Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. It's a message. So when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, why? Is it because they're bad people? Of injustice and judgment. I will be just in what I do, and I've destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for, and the Messiah uses that as an example, Peter uses it as an example. And we had the book of Revelation, uses it as an example. So God is telling us something about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? What is the message he's trying to tell us? In this verse 8 of chapter, second chapter, verse 8. For that righteous man, remember we always said, Lot was not a righteous man. He was an unrighteous man. Look what he did. See, we're judging according to how we look at Lot. We need to look and say, how does God look at Lot? What would make Lot a righteous man?
He believed God.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you, don't ask the question, inside of yourself ask this question, answer it rather, do you believe God? If you do believe God, you are a righteous person. You're a righteous woman and you're a righteous man. That's according to the Torah. And according to Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he says, that's what makes a person righteous. What makes a person righteous? Believe God. If you don't believe God, judgment's going to come. Simple as that. The whole world was destroyed because only Lot believed God. And he says here now, and the righteous man dwelling among them, and some of your translations have the word tormented, as has vexed. What that word means, basically, in a nutshell, is the one that is simple word. It's to be grieved in pain, both in the mind and or physically. Now, we don't look at Lot as one who was tormented, do we? We kind of look at him sometimes as a fool, an idiot, passing out his kids. But in truth, what was he? Why would God call him a righteous person? Yes.
Well, he was tormented because of what the situation with the people there in the town, because he was the believer.
Yeah.
He was a believer, so he was tormented. So he was very. I don't know what his history is that much, but.
Okay.
Not good at that, but he was at that point.
Yeah. He says here, this verse, he says, a righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing lawless deeds. That's what he was tormented with. That's what it says in Scripture. Look at right there, verse 6. Is that what the right word? No, verse 8. He was vexed, troubled, trialed, difficult place to live, difficult place to be. Right? And we say, well, he was an idiot for going there in the first place. Because that's human nature, right? Oh, you made a mistake. You should not have gone there. You idiot. That's not what the Bible talks about. Have you ever made a mistake in your life? That you later said, boy, I was an idiot. No, I've always never been an idiot, right? I've never been an idiot. I've never made a mistake in my life. That doesn't work, right? That doesn't work. So let's go on. First, let's drop down to, let's bypass that now. Let's go to Book of Jude talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. But that whole book of Jude, you know, it's talking about people who are turning against God or are going to be judged like Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes?
You were defining righteousness according to how God sees a person rather than how, you know, we would view it. Well, Josh and I were just having a conversation the other day about wisdom, the word wisdom, and how Solomon was said, you know, I think by God to be the wisest man. But yet we see in his life that he really, towards the end of his life, he rebelled against God. And so why would he be called the wisest? You know, that's the question we had. Why would
God judge a person who has done his will, but at his old age goes contrary, not against his will, but goes contrary to what he should be doing? Okay? We have to let God make that final judgment, the end of the story, for me and for you. We have to wait. Let God make that. So Jesus is the only one, or Yahshua is the only one that's going to make that judgment. And all it takes, by the way, is fear of the king, the son's king, to terrify someone fast enough to say, I don't want to go there. Jeff.
Well, perhaps, you know, one of the reasons why he's one of the wisest people who's ever lived is he did something that Adam didn't do. is that he asked God for wisdom for knowledge instead of looking for it somewhere else.
Yeah, but yes, right. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yes, yeah.
I just wanted to say, too, I think he governed all the people and everything. I think it was like an A-plus with him there, but it just seemed like in his own personal life, he wasn't the same as far as with the people and governing them.
Okay, now, I want to move into Revelation for just a minute. Or New Testament right now.
Okay.
Or we talk about Sodom, we talk about Gomorrah. Well, you remember what Sodom means? What does the name Sodom mean? Burnt. Oh, that would happen to it, right? What does Gomorrah mean? A heap of burnt ashes. Oh, that's how it's got name. That's how they got the name. That's what happened to him. Okay. Not biblically speaking, God talks about it after he's done something. Then he labels them. That's quite common with God. He always labels something after he's done something. But sometimes he has an advance. He knows exactly what. With Noah, like he labeled who his name mean even before he was born. Fascinating. That's another story altogether. That means that God is running the show and no one else is. That's all it really is. The simplicity in my mind, anyway. I'm sure glad he's running the show. You don't want me to do that, do you? That's bad news. Now, Revelation 11th chapter, a very famous chapter, right? John was given a reed to measure something. Right? He's measured the temple. But not the outer courts, just the inner courts. And it moves in quickly, verse 3, and I will give my two witnesses. Oh, here we go. Witnesses. Remember witnesses? Everybody's waiting for the two witnesses. And everybody's saying, you know, I think that guy's going to be witness. No, I think I was going to be the witness. He's going to be the witness. He's going to be one of the witnesses. Some of them think it's going to be a Jew. Other think it's going to be a Gentile. Some people think it's going to be Roman. Some think, I mean, who cares? Let God say, these are my witnesses. Therefore, they are witnesses of Elohim. They're not witnesses because they are Jewish, Italian, Greek, black, white, yellow. They are the servants of God. Right? So these two witnesses, how would they become witness? When you tell somebody, when they start talking about God in a conversation, and you start telling them, what do you tell them? The truth. How'd you get the truth? You believe God. So these two witnesses are righteous men because they believe God. That makes sense to you so far? Now, going back to Sodom and Gomorrah, these two witnesses are going to do something with them. I know they're going to do all sorts of bad things. You know, fire proceeds out of their mouth. I'll talk about that much later. But it's the city in which our Lord was crucified. Oh my. What city was that? Jerusalem. It's heavy, right? We're talking the city of Jerusalem. That's pretty heavy, don't you think? And they were killed. You remember? What it says there in Revelations? What happened to them? Verse 8. Verse 8. Not for 3 days, for 3 days and a half. You remember when Yahshua went to the grave of his friend, Lazarus? And remember what his sister said? He stinketh. You remember that? He stinketh. And we say, so we're in this city. We're 3.5 days. What do you think the body's going to smell like? It stinketh. And, of course, we know they celebrate. But he mentions something here. John's writing what he's told to write. And the body lays in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Gomorrah, where our Lord was also crucified. Now here's this word again. Sodom and Egypt, I should say. Why did he use Sodom? Why did he use Egypt? Well, what happened to Sodom? A judgment was cast against them, right? For injustice happening. What happened to Egypt? All the way to the death of their firstborn. Pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? Really, really heavy. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for mankind? Deuteronomy. Chapter 29. Now we're going to the Torah. This is Moses talking. Moses is talking here in Deuteronomy chapter 29. He's talking about here, verse 18, and that there may not be among you a man or a woman, a family or a tribe, whose heart turns away today from Yahuwah, our Elohim, and go and serve the Elohim of the nations that there may not be among you a root of. Here's this famous word now. Bitterness or wormwood. Remember New Testament talk about the wormwood? Don't let it happen, he says. Verse 21. And Yahuwah, shall separate him from all the tribes of Israel for an adversary, according to all the curses of the covenant that were written in this book, the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy has a lot of curses in there. That's verse 21. When you turn against God and you go after another Elohim, guess what takes place? A curse is going to come. Why? Why? Was there something going wrong?
It's a recognition of law. And you know, it's like the way the world is the way it is. And you go away.
Jeff?
If you go out of a lit room into darkness, it gets dark. And that's God's warning that you're heading out into darkness. If you decide to separate yourself from the kingdom of God, and kingdom of God is eventually going to be all-encompassing, including all of the world, there's no life where you're going.
Okay. When God brings forth a curse, is it justice or is it judgment?
Oh.
Ask, but if curse comes as a result of something being unjust, what's unjust? Going after another one, other than him, is unjust. What's he going to do about it? He'll give you a curse. Let me go kill you. He'll give you a curse. Bad ones. Yes.
Because the God he's talking about here in this chapter happens to be the same God that gave the whole rest of the book of Deuteronomy with all of the things that we should be doing and to be careful about this and be careful about that. That curse would fall on a whole bunch of people that don't know that they've walked after another God.
Go ahead.
Once they get there, wouldn't you think that they would want to find a way out, that they would start seeking? So he'll allow that horrible
curse coming.
Right? 3 months. You're
yeah, and then, and, I mean, yeah, he's got it set up that way.
The reason why you've got to put a curse, verse 21, verse 22 tells you why he's got to put the curse. He put the judgment against them. What is that judgment? What's the object of the judgment? So that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you and the foreigner who comes in from a far land would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which Yahshua had laid upon it, they will say, the whole land is brimstone. Wait a minute. I thought Sodom was brimstone. Right? Sodom already took place. Listen. Salt and burning. You remember? There was a lady that was turned into salt. It wasn't a blessing. It was a judgment. All right? What else? It is not shown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other two cities. Now, what does it tell you? Moses is telling his people, if you go after another Elohim, you're going to end up in the same place, in brimstone. Now, they're not even in the promised land yet, are they? They're not there yet. So they've been given this warning of justice and judgment, which Yahuwah said, that's what Abraham is going to invent or put into his children even after his death. How can he do that? By preserving the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Keeping the story very active. Keeping existence of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why?
That sounds like, you know, in Jude, he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and how all these things were written for our admonition, and that's perhaps why even Abraham kept those stories alive, so that right, his children and their children might not stray from Yahweh their Elohim.
So when we look at what we really want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah today, because sometimes we just read the story and we go on to the next chapter, you know, 20, 21, 22, all the way till the 49th chapter. But here, I want to stop and pause for a while so we can understand how when God said, I know Abram, he will do something. And Apostle Paul says, if you believe the creator of heaven and earth, the same way that Abraham believed the creator of earth, you are the descendants of Abraham. Are you carrying out? Yes, you are. You're carrying out Abraham's system. What is Abraham's system? Believing God. That's what the story is all about. Sodom and Gomorrah? No. We didn't finish reading here in the Peter where he says, God will deliver the righteous men out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how he delivered them out? Took them by their hand and dragged them out. So God knows how to save them. They may pull you out, you know, and you have no home anymore. You have no more cattle. You have no more wealth. Have no more money. Have no and nothing whatsoever. But he's pulled you out. And what do you do with it? Well, you can run away into a cave, you know. Or you can say, thank you, God. I'm out of there. The agony is over with. The pain is gone. My vexation is ended. It's finished. Right? Let's go on to Deuteronomy 32. This is a great, awesome. Oh my, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe I will pass that up because it's a little bit. Well, not really. Let's go, verse 1. Here's Sodom and Gomorrah mentioned in this chapter. And I've got to say, I'm running out of time here, but I'm going to just read it. Verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as rain. Oh. What does rain represent? What does rain represent? My teachings drop like rain. Do you understand what that's all about? Well, I'm sorry, what? All right. It says, my spirit is like rain. And I will drop my spirit on you as rain. You mean you get wet? Yeah, you get wet. And he says, that's what I do. So every time it rains, you should realize, oh, the Messiah is talking here. We can talk. My speech distills the dew. As raindrops on the tender herbs, this is not a thunderstorm now, and the showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of Yahuwah, ascribe greatness to our Elohim. The rock, his work, perfect. All his ways, just. A Elohim of truth, without injustice. Righteous and upright, he is. So that the earth is supposed to hear that, right? Was it just for Israel? Or was it also for us? Let's move on. He comes down here. And verse 5 turns negative. Real fast. They have corrupted themselves. They're not his children. Because of their blemish. Perverse and crooked generation. But Yeshurun, the upright one, the straight one. That's what that word means. Something happened to him. Here an upright one, a straight one. Something took place. It grew fat. It grew fat. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. Then he, the upright one, forsook Elohim. So here's a warning for you and for me, that if we forsake Elohim, something's going to happen. Remember we already read there, where you're going to put a curse on people or an individual who goes after another human being, another Elohim. That's a judgment. That's a price. Go after another God. The price is a curse. That's a judgment against you. So you have to look at yourself and say, okay, when will this all be lifted? When will it all go away? When you stop provoking him to jealousy, as simple as that. Drop down to verse 20. I meant to go back and tell you about, it says the secret, it says translated there, the secret things belong to the Creator. But it really means there are hidden things. God has hidden himself. That's what it really means. And here we're in this point of verse 20. And he, Elohim, is saying, I will hide my face from them. You remember one of the prophets? I don't know where it's right offhand. But he says, because you have forsaken me, I am not going to protect your children. Remember that? Is that a curse? Oh, yeah. Is it a curse upon the person who's forsaking Elohim? Yes. Is it also a curse upon the children? Yes. We don't like that one. They don't like that one. We want God to protect them and forget about... No, kill the other ones, but keep the kids alive. That's not how God works. Hosea. Okay. I didn't remember what was that. Right off hand, he says Hosea. For I will see that they end. Or I will see the end of them. For they, a perverse generation, children of whom there is no faith. For their vine... is a vine of what? Sodom. Now, see, we look at this thing. We look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember all the ashes and all that kind of stuff. But here is the people, a righteous person. What's going to happen? You're supposed to be a vine. Remember what a vine is? What does a vine do? It has branches coming out of it. Right? And remember what the word tribe means in Hebrew? Remember what the word tribe means in Hebrew? A branch. Here you got the tabernacle. And there's three branches on the outside of that tabernacle. That's what they're doing. They're branching out. And what are they supposed to produce? Fruit. What kind of fruit? Your vine or your product is like Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes, the grapes of gall. Their curse, the cluster is bitter. You ever had bad taste in wine? It's in verse 32. I jumped right up to 32. I'm sorry. I should have told you where it's at. 32, yeah. All right, let's get down to some of the errors of the prophets. Very important. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm almost finished, believe it or not. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah. How are we going to pronounce it? Okay. The first chapter. Starting in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Does this sound familiar with that book, Deuteronomy? For Yahuwah has spoken. What do you say? Oh. Supposed to hear him, right? I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not even consider me. Not good news, right? He says, alas, a simple nation. People laden with iniquity. Brood of vipers. Children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahuwah. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned backwards. We won't go through the rest of the chapter. I want to drop down there because Isaiah now starts saying something. Verse 9. Isaiah says, "Unless Yahuwah of hosts had left us a small remnant, we would be like New York City, or Paris, San Diego, Sodom, burnt up, and we'd be made like Gomorrah, a heap of ashes." That's not good news, is it? And verse 10 is, "Hear the words of Yahuwah, you rulers of Sodom, and give ears to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah." Now here, Isaiah likens his own country, the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south, he likens them unto Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you a question. Were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah worse than the sins of Israel? I mean, did they grope around? Did they try to do all that horrible sexual stuff? No. They might have once or two, but not. He's saying the entire nation, the people, are becoming like that. We say, wait a minute. I'm not like that. The word of Yahuwah, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. Pretty strong words, don't you think? So we see here, God has set us an example. Way back in the 19th chapter of Genesis, a story of justice and judgment. And now it's warning the house of Israel all of this. But you know, we went to the New Testament first, remember? You know, the New Testament was supposed to have wiped it all out. No judgment whatsoever will come because of the blessed blood of the Messiah. But the Messiah said, I'm sorry, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to happen. They're going to be better off. That's pretty strange. Stop and think that for a minute. The people that Messiah was living around and being around, were they like ancient people of Sodom and Gomorrah? Or were they the ones that he said to his disciples, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of them? Right? He didn't say they didn't have righteousness. You must exceed it. Let's go beyond that. Why was Messiah so angry with the leadership of Israel or of Judah?
Because they saw what had happened to the house of Israel and they did it anyway.
What did he say they did? You have instituted, Peter said that, into the Devarim Elohim words that are not there. And you have put people into bondage. Now, that's what a really nice religious person is, right? They put people in bondage? Well, a religious person does, but not a righteous person. I have to understand the difference between those two terms later. Okay. I just wanted to read this thing out. I thought it was very fascinating to look at all of that. I'm going to see if I can't throw. It's Jeremiah. This is not just, by the way, a condemnation against the house of Israel. He also puts judgment, the same kind of judgment, against other nations. Yes.
They took his beautiful, what he was, and they turned it into something very wicked.
Because they took the judgment of God and added other things to it, which makes what Apostle Peter said, the truth become blasphemous. Wow. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? He wasn't talking about, you know, I mean, the people of San Francisco. Wasn't talking about the people of Dallas, Texas. Wasn't talking about the people in Paris. Talk about, he's talking about not Hollywood, not the politicians in Washington, D.C. He wasn't talking about them. He's talking to people. I would say, like you and I. Just real quickly, I'm going to rattle off a few more things, you know, just so you have an idea. In Isaiah 13, verse 19, he's talking about Babylon, the glory of all the kingdoms. You're going to be overthrown like Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's not just. I mean, he uses judgment, and we call justice a judgment. What happened to Babylon? Were they overthrown? Well, yes, they were. Who overthrew it? The Medes and the Persians. That's the end of them. So, you know, the judgment is not just upon us or upon Israel, but also in Jeremiah 23, verse 14, is also I have a horrible thing in the prophets of Jeremiah. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of the evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me. All their inhabitants is like Gomorrah, the city of Jerusalem, during the time of Jeremiah. You remember the story of Jeremiah? Book of Lamentations? What was he crying out for? Why is it called Lamentations for? What did he see? He saw the destruction, in a sense, of Sodom and Gomorrah, the city he lived in and loved and cherished. By the way, God delivered him out of it too, didn't he? He wasn't delivered out of there peacefully and nice and wonderful, but he was delivered out of it. So if you are understanding God, there's a point where we have to say, okay, I want to be delivered. God can deliver regardless of the situation around the world, around about you. Regardless of the problems that God's going to put upon mankind, our country, our city, or wherever it is. You have to come, I can use this word have to, we need to come to believe God as much as Abraham. God delivered Noah. Not the way Noah would like to have been delivered, but he got delivered. Lot got delivered. Not the way Lot would like to have been delivered, but Lot got delivered. Jeremiah got delivered. Some of the prophets didn't get delivered, though. They were killed, weren't they? What about the prophets? What about the apostles? Not all of them, but they were delivered. Even if they died, they delivered. God delivered them into his world. All right. Any more questions? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Any opinion?
You know, it's in Mark 7 where he talks about, Yeshua says to the leaders, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me.
Yeah.
Their worship of me is useless because they teach man-made rules as if they were doctrines. You depart from God's command and hold on to human tradition. Adding to, taken away. There was nothing new under the sun then. Truly, there's nothing new under the sun now.
And I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now I'm saying, when you look back at the time where the Messiah was living, your next door neighbor would not have broken into your house. It was a righteous person. Was he not? was all of the Jewish people, murderers, thieves, liars, rapists, communist, capitalist, socialist, Republicans, Democrats, whatever your persuasion is, or are there people just like you and I who are living in this room? But any of you in this room would think, well, I think I'll go rob my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's householder. I'll break into his place and steal stuff. No. Would you do harm to your neighbor? No. Because you don't think that way, right? Neither was Capernaum that way. That was the Messiah's hometown. His mother lived there. So, when you think about what my main point today is this. There's a scripture which I did not read today. It has to do with the nation or the city of Jerusalem. And it says, you have a sister. She's south of you. And her name is Sodom. And you have a sister north of you. And her name is Samaria. You're worse than either one. That's heavy. Now, we may not like that, but there the prophecy says one thing. When God is going to send his son, where is he going to send his son first? To his house. And he's going to clean up his house first. And that cleanup is everything that is unclean is not just cleaned, it is gotten rid of. And it's like the Maccabees, they couldn't do a sacrifice on the stones that the once altar was. What did they have to do? Make a new one. And destroy that altar that was there for hundreds and hundreds of, I don't know how many years. They had to tear it apart and destroy it. Had history behind it. Famous prophets there. Gone. They had to destroy it. And such a story like that. Did it start out real nice? No, it was a hardship for them too. It's a hardship for them. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future. It doesn't matter. But God does say, for my people, I'll bring them back. I'll even bring back Sodom. I'll return her back to her former state. I'll bring back Samaria. I'll bring her back to former state. And you, Jerusalem, I'll bring you back too. That's a promise from God. But things have to get cleaned up. When you look at Sodom and you look at Gomorrah, how did they get cleaned up? Right. Got burnt up. Now he says, on the day of judgment, you know, we're better off for them than some of you, some of the cities. So up comes the peoples of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know when. Doesn't matter. I'm not in charge. And the judgment will be upon them will be less than on Capernaum. I said, wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. But you remember what they were there for? Be an example. Not of how not to be or how to be, but be an example of how God cleans things up. How God does his work. How God purifies and makes holy. When the prophets, I'm going to resurrect Sodom, and they'll return to where they once were, a state that was not full in the beginning. It will be restored. And so will Samaria. And so will Jerusalem. There is hope. But before we have hope, we have to face something about God. Ah, yes, there is hope. There is mercy. But I have to carry out my judgment first. If I don't carry out my judgment first. Now for us, let me ask you a question. Has the judgment been carried out in your case? No hands? Nothing? Yes, okay. I want to hear. How was the judgment carried out for your unjust acts? How? By his son. Judgment was placed upon him. That's why we have hope. Do you believe that? Sodom and Gomorrah is a message. A severe, harsh, burning judgment. And we have Messiah. He brought his son to do one thing. And that we may have life. Praise be to the great God of Abraham.